All right, good morning. Happy New Year. I know, it seems like it's been a long time, huh? But it is a new year. My name is Jack, if we haven't officially met. We're so glad you guys joined us today at Vineyard. So, how many of you are kind of glad 2018 is behind us? Yeah, quite a few. A lot more than first service. There are parts of 2018 that I'm glad are behind us. But there was some really great things that happened, especially around here and with you awesome people. You know, last year we marked our first 12 years. 12 years as a church. Can you believe that? 12 years. How many of you were with us that first year? Raise your hands. Yeah. So you remember we would meet over by the lake and we shared the facility. And so it was a wedding chapel. So we'd have to set up and tear down everything every Sunday morning. And we never knew what we were going to find. Sometimes there was a dance floor there from the night before and half-smoked cigars laying in the floor. And I mean, it was crazy. And so, you know, when I think about those days, and we have a little bit of a bad day here, it's so much better. I mean, we've come a long way. You remember we used to video stream the talk from Fort Collins. And it wasn't a matter of if it would fail, it was when it would fail. You know, I just hoped we'd get like 50% through before it failed. And I'd be sitting on the front row ready to go up there and try to finish the talk. And I know that was extremely frustrating for some of you. And thank you for hanging in there with us through those early days. And then we went through that season where we would pre-record the talk. We'd use a recording from Fort Collins. Some of you might not even know we did that for a while. But then the worship bands at the time used to circulate through, and we'd have different, and then they'd go, I think I saw that. I think Rick said that last week, you know. So it was crazy, crazy times. This year we became an independent Vineyard church from Fort Collins. That was huge. We were able to hire more staff, add hours to some of our current staff. We have a new board of directors, just a great bunch of people. David White, Janet Ash, Hans Brewer, and Ryan Yoder are on our board of directors and advisory board, and they're an awesome bunch. You guys give $27,000 to Convoy of Hope. That is so cool. That's like double from the year before. Yeah. Are we going to double every year? I like the sound of that. I just met with our contact at Compassion International last week, and we're currently sponsoring 51 kids right out of this church, 51 kids. That's pretty amazing. You guys are making a difference in those kids' lives. That $35 or $40 or whatever it is, it just goes right out of my account. I don't even know what it is, but we're making a difference like in these kids' lives. That's pretty cool. And we'll do some more this year. We'll give you guys the opportunity. We sent a small team to Africa to support our missionaries in Mozambique this year. We're going to do that again in August. I think we'll send a team of about 6 people. So if you feel like maybe God's kind of calling you there for a short-term mission trip, I know I've talked to a few of you. Let's start thinking about that. Did the turkey dinners, the Christmas gifts. We visited 3 nursing homes on Christmas Day, and I think we're going to add another one next year. Many of you were baptized this year, made a first-time decision to follow Jesus. Remember our big baptism at the lake with the other Vineyard churches? That was a blast. We're going to do that again this year. So I'm excited about 2018, but I'm really excited about what God has for us in 2019. I think it's going to be more and more. I don't know if you've peeked in at our youth group Tuesday nights. This place is a zoo, with a good zoo, with youth, high school and middle school, and then kids. There's some Sundays we have like 80 kids out there coming to church. It's just so awesome. So well done. Now some of you've made some New Year's resolutions, right? How many have started? Yeah. I was thinking about mine for this year. It's a good thing, you know, thinking about losing some weight or eating healthier or keeping your house a little more organized or, you know, tighten up those finances a little bit, you know, really, you know, follow that budget. All good things. But I was thinking about our New Year's resolutions and our series that I want to do for the next 4 weeks. It seems like New Year's resolutions are a bit self-centered, right? If you think about them, they're pretty self-centered. And that's okay. You know, for me, I've made a resolution to get into single digits with my golf handicap. So, you know, a little self-centered, I know. But I wonder if this year we can ask the question, you know, what does God want from me rather than what do I want from God? You know, how do we get our eyes and even our resolutions off of ourself and more about others? Even if you think about some of our prayers can become very self-centered. You know, God help me, God give me more finances, God, you know, me. Do what I want. And when it doesn't kind of go our way and God doesn't do what we expect, many of us give up on God. You know, like I tried that. I tried God. I went to church. I read my Bible. I did all that. I didn't get the girl. I didn't get the parking lot. I didn't get the parking spot. I didn't get the promotion at work. You know, God didn't come through for me. So I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm out. I'm done. And we blame God when he doesn't come through for us. What's interesting is people think God exists for us, but in reality, we exist for him. And so I wonder if in 2019 we can just start to change that thinking and that perspective. I know it's hard. Wouldn't you agree we live in a very self-centered culture right now? I mean, everybody's got their opinion about whatever, and it's about how this affects me. You remember what Jesus told people that wanted to follow him in Matthew 16:24? He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny what? Self. Must deny self. Wow, that's quite a statement. I must deny self, take up their cross, and follow me. And a cross represents dying to stuff. You know, that represents death. So dying to self, what does that look like? And I think that the space we create by denying self is the space that we fill with Jesus. So the more space we can create by dying to self, the more room we have for Jesus. As we move into a new year with this backdrop of a very self-centered culture, I want to spend 4 weeks talking about things that I hope can help us. Today I'm going to talk about being bold in your witness. Bold in your witness. Sharing Jesus with other people. And then next week, faithful in service. How can I leverage my time, my energy, and my resources, not just for me, but to serve others. And then the third week I want to talk about extravagant in generosity. And this isn't just money. This is becoming just generous people in the way we approach life. And then the last one, I'm really excited about this. It's grateful in the grind. Grateful in the grind. Some of you feel like, you know, I get up and it's Groundhog Day. I just do the same thing over and over and over. Does it make a difference? How can I bring God into the equation of what seems and glorify him in the grind? And I think you can do that if you change the way you look at it. So instead of being self-centered, what if we as followers of Jesus strive to live a selfless life by denying ourselves and saying, Jesus, what is it that you want out of 2019? What is it that you want out of me? So today, bold in witness. Our context from Scripture today, there were these guys called disciples. Maybe you've heard of them. And Jesus had been investing in these guys for about 3 years, just doing life together, teaching them. You know, they would just do everything together. That's how you taught back then. And he's teaching them what it means to know God. He's teaching them how to do kingdom stuff. And while he's investing in them, every so often he'll remind them of a couple of things. He'll remind them of the goal, like the mission, like why are we doing this? And then he'll remind them that you guys got to get this because I got to go away. Like, I came here to die. I'm going to die pretty soon, and you guys are going to be on your own, and you need to learn this stuff. And every time he'd bring up those kind of conversations, they didn't like it very much. You know, it really bothered them. They try to hold on to him, you know, kind of like, you know, parents of small kids, you're going to go on a trip and the kids are going to stay with grandma or somebody. And the kids are just like, no, don't go, don't go, don't go. It was the same way with the disciples. They just couldn't wrap their heads around that, this concept. And so Jesus would tell them, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to die, but I'll be back. 3 days, I'm going to come back. And they always had a hard time with this. And then he reminded them that he didn't come for the healthy, but he came for the sick. And he didn't come for the righteous, but he came for sinners. And so he goes through this. He dies on a cross. He suffers brutally. And what do you think the disciples are doing right after all this happens? Do you think they're out boldly teaching, he's coming back? Wait for it. Wait for it. He told us 3 days. Wait for it. You know what they're doing? John chapter 20, verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They're meeting behind locked doors. They're hiding. They're not being bold in their witness. And sometimes I wonder, why aren't we more bold in our witness? When I say witness, it's just sharing with our friends and family what God means to us and what he's, you know, done in our lives and why we see life through a different lens. I know one reason is that maybe we feel like we don't know enough. You know, what if they ask me a really hard question? I just don't know the answer. You know, when I know more, when I'm a little more studied up, then I might, you know, I might talk to them. Another thing that I hear is, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. Or I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to be one of those kinds of, you know, Christians. I don't want to be pushy. And in my opinion, I think most of our excuses at the root is that we're afraid. We're afraid. Just like the disciples. Hiding in a locked room. Afraid we don't know enough, afraid we might look silly, afraid we might mess it up. And we're behind locked doors, afraid of the enemies of Christ. And I totally get it. I mean, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I wake up every morning with a single focus to be bold and tell everyone I see about Jesus, you know. I totally get it. When I was a teenager in youth group, we used to do this thing. It seems like it was a lot, but it was probably like once a year. It was called door knocking. Anybody do that? Growing up in church, door knocking. I mean, it was brutal. Let me tell you what it was like. So usually you went with another person, buddy up, and you go knock on a door, and door opens. Usually a guy in his underwear. Dogs are barking. Babies are crying. The stereo is blaring, you know. And you're supposed to say something like, hey, if you die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? It was very effective. And then what would happen is the door would slam and you'd go on to the next house and do it again. Rinse and repeat. It was terrible. It was horrible. That was our model of evangelism. You know, and if you could slide a little brochure in while they're slamming the door, you felt like you did a good job. So I get it. I get it. It's not easy. But we got to find ways to share and be more bold of how our story intersects his story. So what happened to the disciples? Because they didn't stay in a room cowering, did they? Something changed. One event changed everything for them. One moment changed everything for them. And it turned their fear into courage. Let's look at it. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, what? Jesus. Suddenly, Jesus. And there he is. He's like, I told you I'd be back. I'm back. He's so cool. You know what he says? Peace. Just kind of like, hey, I told you I'd be back. Peace. Did I mention the locked doors? How do you get in there? I mean, that's something to think about. But there's Jesus standing in the room. And all of a sudden, these guys go from being timid and cowardly and afraid to preaching the gospel with boldness to anyone that would listen. And you couldn't stop them. They would say, "We'll throw you in jail." They were like, "Fine, throw me in jail. I'll tell everyone in the jail. We'll get everyone in the jail saved." And that's what they did. You know, you could not shut them up. And it was that one moment of Jesus that changed everything and made them bold and courageous. The biggest coward of all probably was Peter. Not too long before, a little girl asked him, "Hey, don't you know Jesus? Weren't you with him?" I don't. Go away, little girl. I don't know him, you know. And he did it three times. And not too much later, here he is. With the backdrop of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, a dead man came back to life. Now he's preaching boldly to anyone that will listen. There's this one place where a guy named Ananias, he's a high priest, he's very powerful, and he calls him out. He said, "You healed this guy. By what power and in what name do you do this?" And Peter doesn't back down at all. He basically says, you know, rulers in Acts 4:8, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man?" Kind of like, how ridiculous is that? "Do you want to know how he was healed? Well, let me clearly state it." I mean, look how bold he's being. "Let me clearly state it for all of you and to all the people of Israel. He was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man actually who you crucified, but God raised from the dead." Look at the boldness there. From cowering in the corner of a room behind locked doors, hiding out, to these kinds of statements. So what's the deal? What can we take away from this? I think there's one main point that for us to maybe start 2019 with. And if you don't hear anything else today, you know, if you're thinking right now about pink elephants, tune in right now, because this is the point. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. Think about it. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. What do you believe deeply? You talk about it. You guys find a great Mexican restaurant, we can't shut you up. "You gotta try this place. Their enchiladas are to die for." You know? You're a New England fan? We can't shut you up. It'd be nice, but we can't. What about those Netflix series? "You gotta see this. I mean, I took off work for 3 days. I didn't take a shower. I lived on Pepsi and Fritos. It was awesome." And you're tweeting it out and posting it. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. We all do this. I know I do it. If I ever make a hole in one, you guys are going to hear about it. Maybe this is the year. So the hard question rises to the surface. I know it's a little early for hard questions. A little early in 2019. But it's this. If we're not speaking boldly about our faith in Jesus, do we really believe it deeply? It's something to think about. Peter says, "Let me tell you about the powerful name of Jesus." Verse 12, he says, "There's salvation in no one else." Those are fighting words. That's counter to our culture. We like to think there's lots of good ways to get to God. There's lots of ways for salvation. There's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. He's only given authority to save to one person, and it's Jesus. But look what happens in verse 13. The members of the council are amazed. These aren't believers. These are Jewish leaders. And they're amazed. These are the guys they were afraid of just a little bit ago. They're amazed. What are they amazed at? They haven't bought into the message. They don't believe in Jesus, but here's what they're amazed at. They're amazed at their boldness. The boldness of Peter and John. Their passion. And it says they could see that they were ordinary people with no special training in Scripture. Remember, they were just a bunch of fishermen and businessmen not too long before. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And they're amazed at their boldness. How amazed are people at your boldness for Christ? Scale of 1 to 10. 1 being not at all. 10 being, well, that's probably just Jesus. So, massively amazed. How amazed are they? Do you guys give yourselves a score? I won't ask you to share your score, but do you have a score? Okay. So those of you who are maybe a 6 or a 7, you guys probably brought some people to church this past year. Probably shared your faith with someone. I would suspect you've got a list of people that you pray for all the time who don't know Jesus. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood or a relative that you're praying for. Some of you had someone pray for you, huh, for years, like a grandma. You found out later. You didn't know. And then you're like, she's like, you know, I prayed for you for like 100 years. And you finally became a follower of Jesus. How amazed are people by your boldness? If we're followers of Jesus, we're called. Again, it's not optional. We're called to go into all the world. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to share this with other people. It's not a suggestion. It's our marching orders. It's what we're about. And I know there's good ways to do it and effective ways, but we got to do it at some point. So two real simple thoughts from our text in Acts 4. How do we grow in our boldness? First of all, simply spend time with Jesus. These guys had been with Jesus. What does that look like? Maybe it means you're praying, you're listening to him, you're inviting him in to the conversation, factoring him into the equation and the decisions you need to make. Reading the words that he said when he was on planet Earth. I mean, that's reading the Bible, but it's really the words, like what Jesus said. That's pretty cool stuff. Sometimes we got to get still, got to get quiet, got to be alone. We have to make it a priority. Carve out time. And your way can look different than my way. Wendy and I approach God and get with Jesus in very different ways. He made all of us unique and different. Your way can be different, but you need to find your way. Verse 4:13, they were amazed by the disciples' boldness, for they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in Scripture. One version says they were unschooled men. And the Greek word that's translated as unschooled is the word idiotis. Idiotis. I mean, you can guess what word we get from that. And the original meaning of idiotis was to describe an uneducated, ignorant, inexperienced, but here's the one I like, common person. Common person. Do you ever feel common when it comes to spiritual things? Do you ever feel like, man, I don't have anything to say? I mean, why would anyone listen to me? I'm just kind of common. I mean, I'm good at this, and I'm good at that, but when it comes to spiritual things, I just feel kind of common. What I hope you'll hear and understand today, that you are a perfect candidate to be used by God. Because the more common you are, that's where he specializes. That's like his wheelhouse. God specializes in using common people who have been with Jesus. What happens when we're followers of Jesus but we don't spend time with him? Well, I can tell you what happens to me. You know, I don't spend any time with him at all. I get into my busy day and all the stuff that comes with that, and suddenly I'm just me. I'm just common. I'm just ordinary. There's nothing supernatural about my day at all. Someone cuts me off in traffic and I start thinking about, man, I got more insurance than them. I'll just run into them, you know. I know you guys never have that thought. I can take one ding on my record. I'll just rear end them, whatever. And I get consumed with the things of this world like everybody else. You know, and I get too into the game, whatever game I'm watching, and my team loses, and I just want to go crawl under a rock, and it ruins your whole week. We get too into whatever, too into fashion or social media or what people think. And the next day, because I didn't have anything supernatural happen, I just don't want to spend time with God, and I just do it over again and again. And all these negative spiritual consequences kind of flow out of this pattern. On the other hand, I get up and I spend some time with God, and I like to listen or watch great teachers. That's kind of my thing, and go on walks with God and just talk to Him. Talk to Him about you guys, some of you a lot more than others. Talk to Him about my kids. Talk to Him about big decisions I have to make. Just bring Him in, you know, to the conversation. When I do this, I'm more than ordinary because I've been with Him. Suddenly I'm a little bolder. Suddenly I start to recognize things that might have seemed random, but all of a sudden I go, wait a minute. Why is this person in my life right now? Well, why am I running into this person right now? God, are you up to something? Is there something bigger going on? Why am I having this conversation? And I start to go from being ordinary to supernatural because I've been with Jesus. My faith increases. And then I get up the next day and I go, wow, that was fun. That was cool. I think I want to do that again. And it starts a whole new pattern. A whole new pattern. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing that we could do that in 2019? They were amazed at the boldness and took note that ordinary people, everyday people, had been with Jesus. Second thing we can do, and when I thought about this, I don't think I have ever done this. Ask God for more boldness. Ask God for more boldness. Has anyone done that? I don't think I ever have. Ask God for more boldness. I mean, Solomon asked God for wisdom, and he got it. And God was blown away by the ask, wasn't he? It's like, that's a good one. And his whole life changed out of asking God for something. Ask God for boldness. It's what the disciples did. Religious leaders continue to threaten them. We're going to put you in jail. You might even lose your life. Can you imagine if that was the way it is for us? You're over here at the coffee shop and you're sharing, you know, about Jesus with a friend, and all of a sudden the, you know, I don't know what you call them, but the don't share your faith police come in and they're cuffing you and hauling you off, and you're like, you know, call my family. I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of prison. They might kill me. This is happening in other parts of the world. I mean, we don't even have it hard, really, to share our faith with people. And I know what I'd pray for. I'd be like, oh, dear God, keep me safe and take care of my family, and I don't want to spend any time in jail. And that'd be my prayer. But look at their prayer. Acts 4:29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants what? Great boldness. They pray for boldness. They don't pray for safety. They don't say, take the threats away. You know, they pray for more boldness in preaching your word. Give us boldness. Give us boldness. When we spend time with Jesus, we grow in our boldness. And when we ask for boldness, He'll give it to us. And then we start to remember that we serve the greatest cause ever in history. We start to remember what hangs in the balance. That people's lives for eternity hang in the balance. And God sets up these little appointments for us. And I think sometimes He's just going, Jack, don't miss it. Jack, don't miss it. This is not an ordinary encounter. don't miss what I'm trying to do here. Be bold. And probably so many times I just miss it. And he's like, oh, well, we'll get him next time. Because there's grace. We'll get him next time. When life is over, people will live somewhere forever in eternity. Some in the presence of God and some not. And that is a really big reality. And I think these guys got it. And they were like, you know what? I don't care what you do to me. Throw me in prison. Kill me. I'm not going to stop talking about this until I die. And they didn't. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. No mind has imagined. We can't even wrap our heads around it. It's going to be so incredible. And I think if we just catch a percentage of that, we'll be like, man, I want my friends there. I want my family there. I don't want anyone to be left out, especially on account of me. It's so big, we can't even comprehend it. John, one of the guys who was preaching in our text, he had a vision on the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote Revelation. And he got to see heaven. And he tried to describe it with his limited knowledge. And this is what he said. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. And God himself, what's he going to do? He says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All these things are gone forever. Forever is a long time. And the one sitting on the throne said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. You guys, we have that water. We carry it around in little buckets. And we need to share it with people. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. I will be their God, and they will be my children. The glory of heaven that God has prepared for us. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. Let's stand. So I just want to pray for you. And first service, we had quite a few people who God brought someone to mind that, I mean, he really wants me to reach out to them. I didn't see them that way. They'd been in my neighborhood or in my world or at work, but I just hadn't thought of them that way. So that's going to be one of my prayers for you, is that God will just show you who he's put in your way, who he's brought in your world, where he's trying to do something extraordinary in their lives, and he wants to use you. As common as you might feel, he wants to use you. Sometimes the more common, the better. Because you know what? It leaves way more room for God. And us, we don't get in the way. Self doesn't get in the way. We have a prayer team back there. And during the worship time, go back and pray. Get prayer for anything. But if maybe there's a person that God puts on your heart today, go back there and pray for that person. Ask them to pray for that person. Maybe put that person's name on the cross today. Let's just take that little extra step, all right? So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you use us, that you call us into more. Help us to see what hangs in the balance and to keep that out in front of us. Help us to remember the amazing place you've created for us to live forever. And God, make us bold in our witness. Change. passionate about. Jesus' name. Everybody said?